You know, last week we had, we're talking about Easter, and you know, there was a special message with that, and this morning we're going to wrap up One Love, and this is part 7, and John 14, start with verse 21. This is in New Living Translation. It says, this is Jesus talking. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them. And I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other disciple with that name, said to him, Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large? Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me see, this is really interesting right here. Jesus is letting us know how we can know if we really truly love him. He said, anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I am telling you is from the Father who sent me. Church, this is really powerful. These are Jesus' words. These were words spoken out of his mouth. And he's giving us a definition. He's giving us a definition of how we can know if we love him. And it seems like a really easy definition. You love me if you do what I tell you to do. So the question is, do we do what he tells us to do? That's how we can know that we love him. Now see, the thing is, his love is unconditional. He loves us regardless if we love him. He's not saying here that, well, you know what, if you do enough things, if you do enough of the right things, then I'll love you. What he's letting us know is the way that we know that we love him. Not his love for us. The way that we know that we love him is by obeying what he says for us to do. And Jesus Christ's love, you know, it's really cool because his love is amazing. And when we really truly have experienced his love and we say that we love him, let's go back to verse 21 there. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. He will reveal himself to us when we love him. See, it's really cool. We've got an opportunity right now because we've put up new signs up on the billboard or whatever, and on the west, the side, on 70 heading west, it's the Reach Church, the new logo and stuff, and then on the other side is this right here. Jesus Christ loves you so much, always has, always will. And then our web address there. And I already shared this with the Wednesday night people that were here, and just want to open up for people that are here as well. We're putting together that sign. Has that gotten up yet, Mike? The picture or whatever? Not yet. It's okay. But we're in the process of getting the picture of that sign on the website, and that where people can click on that, and then it will take them to a page that talks about Jesus Christ's love and give them scriptures. And I encourage you, like, you can be a part of this by simply texting to me, Chris, just it's CHRIS at reachmoco.org. Just text me scripture that of Jesus' love that just help you know that Jesus loved you. And he still loves you. And so I encourage anybody, man, anybody that wants to be a part of that project, get those. Please email me, Chris, C-H-R-I-S, at reachmoco.org, R-E-A-C-H-M-O-C-O.org, and you'll be a part, man. We'll get those scriptures on that page for people that want to check it out, that are curious, that are interested. And you know what? We may get some interesting feedback on it, and we might get some blessed feedback on it. It could go both ways. I mean, Jesus Christ is pretty bold up there at the top, and his name can be offensive. God's name maybe not so much, but Jesus Christ, that name can be offensive to people. And so, praise God, it's going to be interesting to watch this take place, and we'll see what happens with it, praise the Lord. But I encourage you, you're wanting to be a part of it, and obviously, man, those who give here at Reach, you're already a part of it. But I'm just encouraging, maybe you want to be more a part of it if you're already giving, or maybe just for whatever reason you haven't given, and so you want to be a part now, and so just send those scriptures of Jesus Christ, like, that for you, like, man, just helped you know that yes, Jesus, he loves me. He always has, and he always will. So, you see, as we're looking at Scripture, and Jesus is letting us know how we can know if we love him. A way that we can know that we love him is if we do what he has told us to do in his word. It's really incredible, and I tell you, I There was an article that when I was reading it, it just really bugged me. But it's an article of 10 reasons millennials are backing away from God and Christianity. Millennials, in case you don't know what that is, that that's this young generation that's here right now, and says here, college-age millennials today are far more likely than the general population to be religiously unaffiliated. This is true when they are compared to previous generations as well. By the way, this is by Dr. Alex McFarland. In fact, the Pew Research Center documents that millennials are the least outwardly religious American generation, where one in four are unaffiliated with any religion, far more than the share of older adults when they were ages 18 to 29. Just over 60% of millennials say that Christianity is judgmental, and 64% say that anti-gay best describes most churches today. In ministry circles, it has been long reported that of youth raised in homes that were to some degree Christian, roughly three-quarters, will jettison that faith after high school. I mean, get away from it. Just under half of this number will return to some level of church involvement in their late 20s or early 30s. It has been long recognized that experience with an earthly father deeply informs the perspective about the heavenly father. In How the West Really Lost God, sociologist Mary Eberstadt correctly asserts, the fortunes of religion rise or fall with the state of the family. Why is this? Our most recent research, which includes dozens of interviews with teens, 20-somethings, professed ex-Christians, and religion and culture experts, points to factors like these. Number one, mindset of digital natives is very much separate from other generations. Millennials are eclectic on all fronts, economically, spiritually, artistically. There is little or no brand loyalty in most areas of life. Two, breakdown of the family. And they mention what was already mentioned in the article. Three, militant secularism. Embraced by media and enforced in schools, secular education approaches learning through the lens of methodological naturalism. It is presupposed that all faith claims are merely expressions of subjective preference. The only true truths are claims that are divorced from any supernatural context and impose no moral obligations on human behavior. People today are subjected to an enforced secularism. Four, lack of spiritual authenticity among adults. Many youth have had no or very limited exposure to adult role models who know what they believe, why they believe it, and are committed to consistently living it out. And there's more here. This is the one. Church. We've got to show this next generation what it means to love Jesus. Because see, if we have a love for Him, people will see when we stand for truth, things that are in God's Word that says, this is right, this is wrong. Truths that we will stand on. We will not be seen as judgmental. We will be seen as people that love Jesus Christ. Period. They'll see that we believe in something. That you can like stand on, that's rock firm, that doesn't sway depending on the situation. This generation needs to see adults that have a true love for Jesus Christ. And not wavering from it. Not being wishy-washy. When we know something to be wrong, it's wrong. When we know something to be right, it's right. And when I say no, I'm saying based upon His word. Because that's what Jesus told us. See, if we're a lover of Jesus, Jesus said, hey, if you love me, you'll do what I tell you to do. Now see, His love, it's not conditional because He already loved us. He loved us when we were still sinners. When we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So it's not a matter of him saying that, well, I'll love you if you do what I tell you to do. No, He already loves us. That's already taken care of. What He is describing and explaining here is that we can know, we can personally know if we love Jesus by doing what He says to do. Church, this next generation needs to see. They need to see people that know. That know Jesus Christ. And see, we can know Him when we love Him. Because that scripture tells us that He will reveal Himself to us. If we were in court, if we were in a court of law, would a prosecuting attorney be able to prove that you love Jesus? Is there enough proof that you would be convicted? Or has there been so much flip-flopping? They couldn't prove anything. See, it's not a matter of being judgmental. It's not a matter of us looking at other people and, well, let's see, do they love Jesus? How do they love Jesus? No. It's a matter of us looking at ourselves and saying, do I love Jesus? You know, this article goes on to share five. It says, the church's cultural influence has diminished. The little neighborhood church is often assumed to be irrelevant, and there is no cultural guilt anymore for those who abandon involvement. 6, pervasive cultural abandonment of morality. The idea of objective moral truth, ethical norms that really are binding on all people, is unknown to most and is rejected by the rest. Intellectual 7, intellectual skepticism. College students are encouraged to accept platitudes like, life is about asking questions, not about dogmatic answers. Is that the answer? That there are no answers? Claiming to have answers is viewed as impolite. On life's ultimate questions, it is much more socially acceptable to suspend judgment. 8, the rise of a fad called atheism. Full of our self-congratulatory swagger and blasphemous bravado, pop-level atheists such as the late Christopher Hitchens made it cool to be a non-believer. Many millennials, though mostly 20-something Caucasian males, are enamored by books and blogs run by God-hating thinkers. 9, our new God, tolerance be thy name. Tolerance today essentially means, because my truth is, well, my truth, no one may ever question any behavior or belief I hold. This standard has become so ingrained that it is now impossible to rationally critique any belief or behavior without a backlash of criticism. And 10, the commonly defiant posture of young adulthood. As we leave adolescence and morph into adulthood, we all can be susceptible to an inflated sense of our own intelligence and giftedness. During the late teens and early 20s, many young people feel 10 feet tall and bulletproof. I did. The cultural trend toward rejection of God and other loci of authority resonates strongly with the desire for autonomy felt in young adulthood. Finally, is it really any wonder that kids raised in the churches of 21st century America aren't often stirred to lifelong commitment? Most churches are so occupied with marketing themselves to prospective attendees that they wouldn't dream of risking their brand by speaking tough as nails truth. Are we people that are searching for truth? Or are we seeking for the next feel-good self-help? Truth is where it's at. Jesus made it clear to us. This is one mention of him telling us, if you love me, keep my commandments. There's several times where he mentions this. He repeats it. Church, I encourage us all not to be looking at others and trying to judge whether or not somebody next to you, or somebody next door at your house, or somebody in school loves Jesus. I encourage you, don't go there. Just be focused on living out what Jesus told us to do. And see if we're doing that. The people that don't love Jesus, that don't know him, they'll end up wanting to find out. So So it's not a matter of us judging other people and saying, oh, you dirty, rotten, no good. No. It's a matter of us focusing on the inside. Will we take a stand for something? Or will we fall for anything? If we don't have truth that we stand on, we'll be susceptible to fall for any lie that gets thrown out there. But if we look to His Word for truth, we'll be able to recognize a lie just like that, and we won't be deceived. Do we really love our kids? Do we really love this next generation? Church, we've got to give them an example. So they won't be deceived. Father, in Jesus' name.